Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 9, Mother Yashoda binds Lord Krishna, Text 10. Avanchamana Janani Brihach Chalach Troni Barakranta Gati Sumadhyama Javena Vishramshita Kesha Bandana Chuta Prasunanugati Paramrisha Avanchamana Janani Brihachalach Troni Barakranta Gati Sumadhyama. Javena Visram Sita Kesha Bandana. Chuta Prasunanu Gati Paramrishat. Avanchamana Janani Brihachalach. Troni Barakranta Gati Sumadhyama. Yavena Vishramsita Kesha Bandana. Chuta Prasunanugati Paramrishad. Anvanchamana Janani Brihachalach. Troni Barakranta Gati Sumadhyama. Javena Visram Sita Kesha Bandana. Chuta Prasunanugati Paramrishat. Avanchamana Janani Brihachalach. Anvanchamana Janani Brihachalach. Avena Visram Sita Kesha Bandana. Avanchamana Janani Brihachalach. Sarah, Vanshamana Vini Brihat Stalat Kanta Kati Sumadhyama Nina Vishwam Sita Kesha Bhavana Abhasanana Gati Paramrishat Samana Charani Bihat Salat Samadhyama Jaina Vishram Sita Kesha Bhavana Anugati Paramishat Vaishnavis, Vanchamana Charani Bihat Salat Nima Vahisamadhyama Anvanchamana. Following Krishna very swiftly. Janani, Mother Yashoda. Brihat Chalat Shroni Bara Akranta Gatihi. Being overburdened by the weight of her large breasts, she became tired and had to reduce her speed. Sumadhyama, because of her thin waist. Javena, because of going very fast. Vishram Sita Kesha Bandana from her arrangement of hair which had become loosened. Chuta Prasuna Anugati. She was followed by the flowers falling after her. Paramrisha finally captured Krishna without fail. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. While following Krishna, Mother Yashoda, her thin waist overburdened by her heavy breast, naturally had to reduce her speed. Because of following Krishna very swiftly, her hair became loose, and the flowers in her hair were falling after her. Yet she did not fail to capture her son Krishna. Please repeat. When following Krishna, Mother Yashoda, her thin waist, overburdened by her heavy breasts, naturally had to reduce her speed. Because of following Krishna very swiftly, her hair became loose, and the flowers in her hair were falling after her. Yet she did not fail to capture her son Krishna. Purport. Yogis cannot capture Krishna by severe penances and austerities. But Mother Yashoda, despite all obstacles, was finally able to catch Krishna without difficulty. This is the difference between a yogi and a bhakta. Yogis cannot enter even the effulgence of Krishna. Yasya prabha prabhavato jagadanda koti kotish. Brahma Samhita 540. In that effulgence, there are millions of universes, but yogis and jnanis cannot enter that effulgence even after many, many years of austerities, whereas bhaktas can capture Krishna simply by love and affection. This is the example shown here by Mother Yashoda. Krishna therefore confirms that if one wants to capture him, one must undertake devotional service. Bhaktya mam abhijananti yavanyaschasmi tadvataha tatomam tadvata gyatva vishate tad anantaram. Bhagavad Gita 1855. Bhaktas enter even the planet of Krishna very easily, but the less intelligent yogis and jnanis, by their meditation, remain running after Krishna. Even if they enter Krishna's effulgence, they fall down. Om Jnana Timurandasya Gnanjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudevi Gaura Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So in these verses in the purports, you know, we're hearing about the difficulties of the yoga system and the superiority of bhakti. You know, in the sixth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna explains to Arjuna the details of the yoga system. You know, he explains that one has to go to a sacred place and be alone and sit and meditate. And gradually learn how to focus on the super soul within the heart. And Arjuna tells Krishna, the system that you're describing seems impossible for me to perform. And then Krishna tells Arjuna, nevertheless, you have to be a yogi. Tasmat yogi bhava Arjuna. He says, still you have to be a yogi. But there's a special kind of yoga. Krishna says, yoginam api sarvesham madgaten antaratmana shradavam bhajate yomam same yuktatamo mataha. That of all the different kinds of yogis, the yogi who worships me in the spirit of loving devotional service and with great faith is the highest and the most perfectly united with me in yoga. So Krishna is recommending the system of bhakti yoga. So actually sometimes I'm just overwhelmed seeing all the devotees who are such great yogis. Each and every one of you is practicing great austerities and attaining to one degree or another Krishna. So it's very amazing to be in the presence of such a group of exalted personalities. So, still there are some connections, you know, between the practice of bhakti yoga and the practice of Ashtanga yoga, the eightfold yoga system recommended by Patanjali. It's not really suitable for this age, but still, in our practice of bhakti yoga, there are similarities. Ashtanga yoga system means eightfold yoga system. And the eight parts of it are yama, niyama, asana, pranayama, pratyahara, dharana, dhyana, and finally samadhi. So yama means restrictions, things not to do. And in the modern practice of yoga, there's not so much concentration on that. But in bhakti yoga, we have our system of yama. No meat eating, no illicit sex, no gambling, no intoxication. And then there's niyama, recommended practices. In the Ashtanga yoga system of Patanjali, there are niyamas, recommended practices. Saucha, cleanliness, tapa, austerity, swadhyaya, study of the scripture, and Ishvara Pranidhana, surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. These things aren't stressed very much in the current age, but we see these are some of the things that we do. One of our austerities that we perform in bhakti yoga is swadhyaya. We're daily studying Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita. And of course, we are engaged in Ishvara Pranidhana, surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is actually our main practice. Then there's asana. You know, in the Ashtanga yoga system, there are many postures. But in bhakti yoga, we situate our body in a holy place, in the association of devotees. And we engage our body in the practice of devotional service. Pranayama means controlling the breath. We control our breathing in bhakti yoga by japa and kirtan. In japa, we're using our breath to chant the Hare Krishna mantra. And in kirtan, we're using the breath to chant with musical accompaniment the same Hare Krishna mantra and other mantras and songs. And then the next limb of the yoga system, the Ashtanga yoga system, is pratyahara. which means withdrawing the senses from material contact. So in devotional service, this is accomplished by engaging all of the senses, the working senses and the knowledge acquiring senses in devotional activities. Yeah, we have our knowledge acquiring senses. We have the ears, so we engage the ears and always hearing about Krishna and things related to Krishna. We have the eyes, so we try to see everything in relationship with Krishna. We see the form of the deity in the temple. We have the nose. We smell the flowers offered to the deity. So, and then we have our arms, our legs. We engage them in the service of Krishna. And by engaging all of the senses in spiritual activities in Krishna consciousness, they are automatically withdrawn from material engagement. So we're accomplishing, you know, the system, the limb of pratyahara. And the purpose of controlling the senses is actually to steady the mind so that the mind can be engaged in concentrating on Krishna and things related to Krishna. And there are different stages of that. Dharana means concentrating the mind from time to time. Dhyana means constantly concentrating the mind. And samadhi means total absorption of the mind. And even in Patanjali's Yoga Sutras, it says, samadhi siddhir ishvara pranidhana. That means the perfection of samadhi is concentration on the Ishvara, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that is being exemplified here by Mother Yashoda, who is totally focused on her child Krishna, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that is the ultimate samadhi, and we're being presented with this imagery here in literary form. There's also in the Srimad Bhagavatam a beautiful painting of Yashoda. I don't know if it's in this one, but our BBT artists have made a beautiful picture of Yashoda chasing after Krishna with, you know, flowers falling from her hair as she's doing it. So in the Brahma Samhita, it says, Premanjana Charita Bhakti Vilochanena Santa Sadaiva Hridyesha Vilokiyanti Yam Shama Sundrama Chintikanu Sarupam Govinda Madi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. This means that the devotees are absorbed in the spirit of loving devotion to Krishna, and they're constantly meditating upon Krishna in the form of Shama Sundar within their hearts. And, you know, that's the stage that we're in, trying to meditate upon Krishna within our heart. Also serving the deity of Krishna in the temple. But as we progress in devotional service, we'll ultimately come to the stage where that Lord in the heart becomes present before us. And, you know, there's, you know, the example of Dhruva Maharaj. Yeah, when he was a child, you know, he wanted to sit on the lap of his father, who was the king. And because he was the child of one of the king's wives who was not as favored as another wife, you know, this other wife of the king told him he couldn't sit on the king's lap. So he became very upset by this, and he went to his mother, who told him, yes, that's true, I'm not the favored wife of the king. And, you know, Dhruva wanted to do something about it. And she explained to him, you could only accomplish this by the mercy of the Supreme Lord. And the child asked, well, where is this Supreme Lord? And she said, well, usually yogis go out into the forest to find him. So he decided he was going to do that. So child Dhruva went into the forest, and there he met the sage Narada Muni, who first tried to convince him to go home, but he was very determined. And Narada Muni told him, if you're really serious about this, then you go to the Madhavan forest in Vrindavan, and you meditate on this mantra that I'll give you. And the mantra that he gave him is the mantra that we chant at the beginning before reciting the verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So Dhruva followed that instruction. He went to the Madhavan forest in Vrindavan, and he sat there for months and months practicing the yoga system, not, you know, gradually reducing his eating till he was only consuming air. And he eventually came to see the Lord within the heart as the super soul. And he was constantly meditating upon the super soul within his heart. But then at a certain point, the super soul disappeared. And Krishna appeared directly before him, so that the Lord he was meditating on within the heart was present before him. And in his purport to those verses, you know, Srila Prabhupada, you know, mentions this verse from the Brahma Samhita that I just mentioned, Premanjana Charita Bhakti Valochanena, how the devotee meditates in a spirit of love upon the Lord within the heart. And Srila Prabhupada comments in his purport, the Shamasundara form of the Lord within the heart of a devotee is not imaginary. When a devotee becomes mature in his prosecution of devotional service, he sees face to face the same Shamasundara he has thought of during the entire course of his devotional service. Since the Supreme Lord is absolute, the form within the heart of a devotee, the form in the temple, and the original form in Vaikuntha or Vrindavan Dham are all the same. They are non-different from one another. So that's an example where the Lord within the heart becomes present before the devotee. But Mother Yashoda didn't have to go through any process to arrive at that stage. That is her natural position as a Nitya Siddha, eternally perfect devotee of the Lord. And as Srila Prabhupada has mentioned, you know, the yogis, you know, they're trying to capture the Lord, but they aren't successful. But she's engaged in that activity, and she's about, just about ready to capture the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But in the Ashtanga Yoga system, that again is the actual goal of the whole thing. In the sixth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells Arjuna, Sukham Adyantikam Yat Tat Buddhigrayam Atendriyam, that the ultimate goal of the yoga system is to experience the true nature of the self in relationship to God. And in that relationship, one experiences transcendental happiness experienced through spiritual senses. And in the Yoga Sutras of Patanjali, the same principle is stated, that Swarupa Pratishta, one is, should be situated in one's Swarupa, and then comes Chit Shakti. One comes in contact with the internal potency of the Lord and then experiences pleasure. So Srila Prabhupada, in commenting on that, explains that it's the same thing in devotional service. When one comes to one's Swarupa and understands one's eternal constitutional position in relationship to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one experiences transcendental pleasure through spiritual senses. At the present moment, our spiritual senses are covered and they are engaged in material activities and are searching after spiritual pleasure. But by the process of bhakti yoga, if we engage our senses, our mind and senses, in the activities of Krishna consciousness, gradually the spiritual senses will become awakened. So I'll stop there. Are there any questions or comments? Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.